Alright. And so for this one, I'm going to open up this program just riffing through a couple of short stories. And we'll also have the LGBT news report from Lavender Media. And have that update. And we'll have the Green News Report update clipped in between those. And then for the rest of the program, Phoenix, Kalita, and I come together and we cover a little stuff, do a little bit of white-on-white crime, and have ourselves a grand old time. Remember, that's, GoFundMe.com/Phoenix and William. We need help over here.
In Father Teresa's wine cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
And let's go ahead and dig right into this one. So we're looking at a transgender woman in South Florida. See if the folks looking at the Facebooks, if you can see her image there down in the lower side there. As a transgender woman in South Florida is facing a charge of murder in a case that she says was self-defense. The woman identified in local media only as Miss Campbell said that Jackson Marcelin had been stalking her and repeatedly approached her for sex even after being refused. One witness told the court prior to the incident that they observed the victim, Marcelin Jackson, harassing their roommate, Lloyd. Wait, are they dead naming? Lloyd for the last 2 to 3 months during the harassment. Now, Marcelin would approach this individual with comments such as, "I want to have sex, and I want you to expletive my expletive." Seems pretty obvious. At one point, Marcelin approached Campbell with a wooden board while she had a knife in her hand. Quote, "I literally did feel I was defending myself. I actually got struck by the board," she told NBC Miami. Court documents show that another witness saw Marcelin with a wooden stick, but also said that Campbell was taunting the victim. Yeah, really? By existing? Okay. Campbell is now facing a charge of second-degree murder for the stabbing death of Marcelin. She says that she had been raped 3 times prior to this incident, even while she was being held on these charges, but before she was released on bond. Whoa. Wait, raped 3 times prior to this incident, and then also raped while being held on these charges. What fucking... Wait, Campbell was attacked by fellow inmates, and is now a witness for the state attorney in that case. Quote, from Campbell, "I have seen things happen to other transgender folks who could not defend themselves," end quote. Campbell and her attorney think that the situation would be different if she were a cisgender woman. Quote, "I do feel that it may have been different if it was a woman in my situation." That's the verbatim quote from Campbell. Another quote from her attorney, Herbert Irving Walker III. "I think it's without question that if..." See, now there you go with the misgen. This is the verbatim quote from Irving Walker. "I think it's without question that if he were a biological female, this case would be handled differently," end quote. So kind of misgendering, dead naming, the whole thing. This is all fucked up. The Miami-Dade state attorney said that information is still being gathered to determine how they proceed in court. You know, and this stuff is always going on. And so I don't know all this stuff, right? Like gender fluid and you know, transgender and non-bot, like I know these folks exist, but I don't know all these things. My whole thing is leave them alone. Stop murdering these folks. Stop harming these folks. Like, let these niggas live. They only got one life. There's no heaven or hell after this. Leave them alone. You know, that's, I'd like to see that world. You know, just have to convince folks to leave them alone. Let's bring Campbell's image back up and see if it'll let me, okay, it doesn't have a view image option, but I see that at winecellarmedia.com. All right, let's move it on forward.
It's now time for Big Gay News, brought to you by Lavender Media. This is Andy Lean in Minneapolis, and here are your headlines for Wednesday, April 5th, 2017. First up, Big Gay News from Massachusetts. Anti-transgender free speech bus is greeted by transgender flag flying above Boston City Hall Plaza. Boston.com reports that an anti-transgender free speech bus, which was subject of protests and vandalism when it stopped in New York City last week, arrived in Boston on Thursday morning. After being greeted by protesters at City Hall, the bus moved on to park at the Massachusetts State House, where Mayor Marty Walsh greeted it with a raising of the transgender flag in City Hall Plaza. Co-sponsored by several conservative groups, the bus has also been met with opposition in New York City and will likely meet with more as it makes its way across the rest of its tour. Next up, Gay Scholar warns against reading into the U.S. Census redaction of LGBT categories. The Washington Blade reports that a leading gay scholar of U.S. LGBT demographics is warning LGBT rights supporters against reading too much into the U.S. Census Bureau's removal of proposed LGBT categories, saying the media reports on the development are incorrect. Gary Gates, formerly a research fellow at the Williams Institute at UCLA, made the remarks on his Twitter account after the uproar on social media following reports that the U.S. Census Bureau was removing proposed GLBT categories from the upcoming census after they were included inadvertently. Gates urged people to look into the incident more thoroughly, saying that while the current administration is likely attempting to remove LGBT from data collection, the firestorm over the census redaction is not the best example of how that is happening. Next up, creator of Rainbow Flag, a symbol of gay rights, dies at 65. The Associated Press reports that Gilbert Baker, the creator of the rainbow flag that has become a widely recognized symbol of gay rights, has died. Baker, 65, was found dead in his New York City home of hypertensive heart disease, according to the city medical examiner's office. The idea for creating the rainbow flag as a symbol of the gay rights movement of the 1970s came to Baker in 1978 when he debuted it in the Gay Pride Parade in San Francisco. Cleve Jones, who created the Names Project AIDS Memorial Quilt in the 1980s and who was a friend of Baker, reminisced that the looks on the faces of those marching in the parade that year as they gazed upward at the giant rainbow flags on the San Francisco Civic Center Plaza told him immediately that this was now our flag. Jones also noted that Baker refused to follow the advice of those who urged him to patent the design of the flag and never made any money off of it. For our final story, 100 arrested, 3 dead, as Chechen authorities launch terrifying anti-gay purge. Attitude reports that gay men are currently being arrested and killed in a terrifying anti-gay purge in Chechnya, according to emerging reports. Reports coming out in the Russian opposition newspaper Novaya Gazeta indicate that over 100 men between the ages of 16 and 50 have been detained by local authorities in recent weeks, and that at least 3 have been killed, although the real figure is estimated to be higher. It is suspected that the crackdown began when a Russian gay rights group applied for permits to hold gay pride parades in the North Caucasus region of Russia, where Chechnya is located. Reportedly, authorities have been using social media to send out messages designed to entrap people who typically stay in the closet in the deeply traditional Muslim nation. Alvi Karimov, a spokesman for the leader of the country, says that the reports are absolute lies and disinformation, noting that there are no gay people who exist in Chechnya since they would already have been killed by their families. That's it for today. Thanks to Linda Rains for compiling the stories. I'm Andy Lean in Minneapolis. Join us and tweet your take on today's stories on Twitter at the handle Big Gay News.
The news is a shit show these days, and we're here to give you a break from the white supremacist media bullshit by bringing you the shitty news so that you can feel less like shit because you know the people discussing all the fucked up shit give a shit about you and the shitty situations you deal with every day. So shit. Pour yourself a glass and settle in for Father Teresa's Wine Cellar.
All right, man, there we go, back in the winecellarmedia.com. Now, yeah, this Kylie Jenner individual exist. I don't know much about what's going on there. I guess they, I don't know, sing, dance, rap. I don't know what the hell these people do these days. I don't know why any of these famous people are famous. They have an Instagram account. People are fans. They post pictures. Whatever it is they're doing. And, my black wife, Phoenix Kaleeder, she was on the Twitters, and she showed me that something was going on with folks, making fun of this, video where they, I guess this Kylie Jenner is like a swarthy white woman, and she, went to a protest and gave a cop a Pepsi and, like, ended police brutality right there on the fucking spot. It was outstanding, right? And I don't get mad at that shit. That shit's fucking hilarious. I mean, you got niggas like Elon and niggas like that, like, fucking, they kick up the faux outrage, because that's their job. Like, they pretend to be mad at shit that's fucking hilarious. That shit is inadvertently hilarious, all right? Like, white people can put on quite a show sometimes. Like, don't front. That shit is not fucking infuriating. I get the fuck out. And then niggas like, I'm a boycott Pepsi. We shouldn't be drinking soda pop anyway. It's not good for us. Right? Like, when I'm drinking a soda pop, I might as well be smoking a cigarette. Like, I know I'm making a bad decision. Alright? Let's keep it greasy. Now, so that went on. The folks that pretend they're fucking outraged pretended they were outraged. The folks that pretended they were in an uproar pretended they were in an uproar. Now, back to more hilarious. So these folks at this company, Nivea, they make products. People purchase them. People use them. They go back. They purchase more product. Free market economy is strong. So this is from some individual, John McDougall. And that individual said, it seems as though marketing and advertising departments nowadays don't quite think things through and apparently don't have people to say, quote, hey, maybe that isn't such a good idea. They mentioned the Pepsi business, and now it's this German skincare company, Nivea. Very appropriate. Very appropriate. That frick face was on the screen and it was the German. All right, the company's new quote, what is purity, end quote, deodorant. Get you some of that what is, some of that Uncle Ruckus deodorant, nigga. White is purity deodorant included, of course, a white woman, and was posted on Nivea's Middle East Facebook page. It said, quote, keep it clean, keep it bright, don't let anything ruin it. Like miscegenation. Now, all right, now the deodorant ad copy read that, and Short was talking about not letting your deodorant stain your clothes, but for all things common sense, apparently no one at Nivea has any. The whole, what is purity, is absurdly horrific when you think about Nivea's German background, and, well, you know, Nazi reign from back in the day. Nigga, we got nigga Nazis popping now. I mean, Nazis, like, them niggas, they got the name, but, I mean, all they were was just hardcore white supremacists of a particular nationality. That's all. You know, Nazi is just a nice little two-syllable breakdown. It's fun. It flows. You got two vowel sounds in it. Nazi. Right? It sounds Christmassy. Right? Nazis hanging over an open fire. Alright, some people would actually want to see Nazis hanging over an open fire. Alright, and like I said, this isn't the first time the company's gone full racist. They had an ad in 2011 that featured a black man removing his afro and beard for a more conservative look with the caption, look like you give a damn, re-civilize yourself. And, damn it, it messed up. On WineCellarMedia.com, I tried to get the picture from that in here. It looks like I'm gonna have to download it and re-upload it, because there's always more to do, right? All right, let's dance it forward. WineCellarMedia.com. I All right. And so the last one we covered on sex workers' rights, we were over in Scotland. So now let's head on over to Ireland over here. You folks might be able to see this individual down in the images down there in the smaller screens, doing what we can as we can. Alright, so this individual, Laura Lee, I think we actually had a video up of Laura Lee too via YouTube. Sex worker and law graduate Laura Lee is stealing herself, stealing like hardening, I think, like S-T-E-E-L-I-N-G, stealing herself for a battle in Belfast's High Court that she believes could make European legal history. The Dublin-born escort is now in the final stages of a legal challenge to overturn the law in Northern Ireland that makes it illegal to purchase sex. Right, you know, sexual services, right? Now, not a single person in the region has appeared in court charged with trying to hire an escort, though public prosecution service figures show that three are under investigation. The region is the first in the UK to make buying sex a crime. The law was introduced in 2014 by Democratic Unionist peer Lord Morrow and supported by a majority of members in the regional assembly. But Laura Lee will enter Belfast High Court with her team of lawyers aiming to establish that the criminalization of her clients violates her right to work under European human rights law. Since the law was established, Lee insists that the ban has put her and fellow sex workers in more peril from potentially dangerous clients. Just before flying out to address an international conference on sex workers' rights in Barcelona this weekend, Laura Lee told the Observer publication that most men currently seeking escorts in Northern Ireland no longer use mobile phones to contact her and her colleagues. Quote, "They are using hotel phones, for example, to contact sex workers in Belfast rather than leaving their personal mobiles. This means, if one of them turns violent, there is no longer any real traceability to help the police track such clients down. Men are doing this because they fear entrapment and arrest due to this law. And the other ones because they're sick fucking murderers that found a loophole." That's my commentary. Continuing, quote, "So, in a sense, the law is actually putting sex workers at greater risk than before. Now, when there was some ability to trace and track down any client that was violent and abusive." Oh, Jesus Christ. "The law to protect women in the sex trade has done the opposite of what was intended for it. Now, every escort I know working in Belfast now insists on working side by side with another woman for protection. The law was not in any way reduced, has not in any way reduced demand and supply, which is still the same. It has only driven the business further underground." All right. Which is what they keep saying. Whenever you do this fucking Nordic Swedish bullshit model shit, you're just making it grimier. Like, stop with the prohibition. Now, quote, "Far too long, far too often, they receive no or very little protection from the law or means for redress. Laws must focus on making sex workers' lives safer and improving the relationship they have with police." You're working class. I don't see that coming up soon. Relationships they have with police. Not place this relationship at risk by criminalizing them and the context in which they work. Similar laws in Nordic countries, there you go, have failed to decriminalize sex workers who are still pursued and punished under remaining sex work laws." End quote. Now, Laura Lee's Belfast legal battle is only the start of the Europe-wide campaign to overturn the model in which the Scandinavian countries pioneered the outlawing of men buying sex. Laura Lee's next target is the Irish Republic, which, under new anti-trafficking laws, has introduced a similar ban aimed at criminalizing clients. Quote, "A win for us in Belfast will have a knock-on effect and set a precedent across Europe. If successful, up north there will be a challenge in Dublin, and sex workers across Europe can use the precedent to overturn the so-called Nordic model in their countries." End quote. Now, from the outset, Lee said she had expected a tsunami of abuse on social media from her opponents. An alliance of religious groups and some feminist organizations on the island of Ireland. Quote, "In the hate mails, they focus a lot on my daughter and say things like, 'I really can't wait until your daughter goes on the game,' and vile things like that. Religious people tell me they can't wait until I burn in the fires of hell. Charming, really. But they must know I am dogged in my determination to fight this law on behalf of all sex workers, and especially the ones that can't put their heads above the parapet and take a public stand. I'm strong enough to do so. You can take their I'm strong enough to do so and can take their abuse." End quote. I destroyed that last sentence. And wrapping up, not even Brexit will stop Laura Lee from taking her challenge all the way to Europe. Quote, "The European Court of Human Rights does not just apply to EU countries, so it matters not that the UK, including Northern Ireland, is leaving the Union. Citizens' rights are still covered outside of the EU by the European Court. And if necessary, that is where I will get this unjust, counterproductive law overturned." End quote. All right, Facebook's folks, I'll catch up with you. And let's dance it on forward.
It's Tuesday, April 4, 2017.
The wall of water so powerful, entire neighborhoods washed away.
Historic rains cause catastrophic deadly flooding in Columbia. Flint, Michigan residents force state to begin replacing lead-tainted water lines. Blue states take on Trump over energy efficiency standards. Coal pollution linked to high risk of low birth weight babies. Plus,
we will put our miners back to work.
New data shows Arby's and car washes employ more people than the U.S. coal industry.
That's why we got to put them back to work. All of those stories and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
My administration is putting an end to the war on coal. Gonna have clean coal, really clean coal.
Yes, clean coal. I know clean coal sounds like an oxymoron, but so does President Trump.
Getting used to it yet? This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, I'm sure you're going to beat up on Donald Trump in a moment, as you do. But hey, on Monday, he donated his first salary check as president to the National Park Service. Would you like to apologize to the president now?
No, it was only $78,000.
Only? That's a lot of money.
The National Park Service's maintenance and operations backlog is $12 billion. And Trump wants to cut the whole department by $2
billion. Yeah, well, when you put it that way, maybe you got a point. What else do you have for us today?
Well, on a much more serious note, in Colombia, South America.
The streets of Mocoa, Colombia were consumed by a wall of water late Friday night. Heavy rain triggered the overflow of three rivers, and the flooding quickly turned into an avalanche of mud.
Torrential record rains overnight Saturday triggered catastrophic flash floods and mudslides in the city of Mocoa, a wall of water that officials say swept away entire neighborhoods while residents slept. As we go to air, at least 262 people are now confirmed dead, hundreds still missing. Colombia's president, Juan Manuel Santos, has declared a state of emergency, and he blamed the disaster on climate change, which scientists say is intensifying extreme weather events. Here in the U.S., the U.S. Senate this week is battling over the confirmation of Judge Neil Gorsuch to the U.S. Supreme Court. Environmental groups oppose elevating Gorsuch, warning that his record is to the right of the late Justice Antonin Scalia on environmental and climate regulations that rein in industrial pollution. Meanwhile, the struggling community of Flint, Michigan, will get 18,000 new water lines to begin replacing its lead-tainted water system. It's the result of a $100 million federal court settlement between the state of Michigan and a coalition of residents and environmental law groups who sued the state to force it to replace the water lines and continue delivering clean drinking water to residents.
About time, although it's going to take a number of years before all of those pipes can finally be replaced.
Which is why it's so important that the clean water deliveries continue. And environmental law groups are also mobilizing new lawsuits against the Trump administration's assault on public health. The Sierra Club and partner organizations have filed suit against President Trump's decision to approve a permit for the controversial Keystone XL pipeline from Canada on the grounds that Trump's sudden approval, reversing President Obama's prior rejection, violates the federal regulatory process. And 10 state attorneys general, with a coalition of environmental groups, are suing the Trump administration over its abrupt reversal of 6 proposed energy efficiency standards for a host of appliances, arguing it's a violation of federal law to arbitrarily delay standards that would save American homes and businesses an estimated $24 billion in energy costs.
And enough electricity to serve 36 million households annually.
Meanwhile, a new study links air pollution from coal-fired power plants to a higher risk of low birth weight babies. Scientists at the University of Pennsylvania found that women living downwind from a Pennsylvania coal-fired power plant had a much higher risk of having babies with low birth weight, less than 5.5 pounds at birth. That was compared to women living away from the plant's air pollution. The higher risk held true regardless of the mother's wealth or access to health care.
But of course, it is the less wealthy who tend to live closer to those coal plants in the first place.
That's true, but this study showed that air pollution knows no city limits.
Mm.
Finally, a new report raises questions about Trump's fixation on the coal industry. A new Washington Post analysis of county employment data finds that even fast food restaurant chain Arby's employs more people than the entire U.S. coal mining industry. The car wash industry, the theme park industry, JCPenney, and Whole Foods each employ twice as many Americans as the entire coal mine industry. This data raises questions of why so much of U.S. energy policy is directed at just one highly polluting industry.
Follow the money, the fossil fuel money.
Indeed.
You got a lot of news into today's report. Nice going. For more on those stories and the ones Desi couldn't get in today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Don't forget, you can download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, or iTunes. Find us and follow us and share us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Follow where the money goes. Follow where the money goes. Follow where the money goes. Follow the money. Yes, yes. Follow where the money.
Okay. Yep, it is. It is okay. It's okay. It's also all right. Now.
Now.
It is Wednesday, isn't it?
It is Wednesday. I tried to find some Wednesday-esque stories, man.
Jesus Christ. Oh, shit. Run that audio. Oh, wait, watch. It's going to play me a commercial. Watch this shit. Yep, it's slowly loading in. And I see News 4 Jax. Knew it was going to play a damn ad. And I see News 4 Jax. That makes me think Jacksonville.
It is.
Oh, damn. There it is right there.
Yeah, I actually make it a point to... for Wednesdays, Google like Florida news and Texas news. That's how I get a lot of the stories for Wednesday.
These newscasters already look bewildered. Now, I wish this was Facebook Live so motherfuckers could see this. And I put up a couple of short Facebook Lives. I did like 2 or 3 of them and put them up there. And but this is for the rest of the podcast episode. Yeah, these newscasters look like they do not want to do this fucking story. They are so tired of this shit.
Move to another state, nigga.
Here we go. Oh, I have it muted.
Didn't you?
Oh, did I?
For the ad?
Oh, I did, yeah, because the ad bothered me. I didn't like it.
Local elementary school teacher is up in the air tonight after the school board says he showed up to school drunk and that this wasn't his first time.
According to reports, Dale Roberts, an art teacher at High Grove Early Learning Center, stumbled through the halls and avoided taking an alcohol test.
It is playing some whole other shit. I don't even know how the computer
decided. And multiple interviews from teachers.
So he avoided taking an alcohol test. I like that part.
Yeah. Well,
according to reports, Dale Roberts, an art teacher at High Grove Early Learning Center, stumbled through the halls and avoided taking an alcohol test. Channel 4's Francesca Amaker joining us live. Fran, you've reviewed the report and multiple interviews from teachers.
Like, I'm black and I just got this job and this is the fuck. This is what I'm doing.
Her face looks like disappointment.
That's right, Francesca.
I'm not getting paid enough to slowly pay off my college debt with this shit.
Woo!
And they all appear to be shocked, Joy and Tarek. Now, it was behind these doors where the school board voted unanimously tonight to have Roberts suspended for 30 days.
That's what you get for... Yo, hey, I drink around kids. But after 30 days, I will
not. Second time. Second violation, too.
Yeah, but the first time is a whoopsie days. The second time is a violation.
An art teacher at this elementary school is now in hot water after reports show he showed up to school drunk.
And that's Hyde Grove Elementary, H-Y-D-E Grove.
According to these documents, Dale Roberts was seen stumbling, falling into walls, and slurring his speech by several other teachers.
What the fuck is that? And you know the cold game is, I mean, if you're drunk at that time, you probably have a legitimate fucking problem. Like, you're not just partying.
Oh, it gets better. Keep going.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
All actions that our crime and safety analyst Gil Smith say could have put his students in jeopardy.
They have to have all their faculties.
Do they have to show her ass like that?
Yeah, like, you know that's why they did that angle.
I'm actually not sure. I'm legitimately not sure because, you know, I lived there for 12 years. It's hot. It's hot and she's comfortable.
It's hot and she's comfortable, but the way the camera panned around to be like in a full body shot, like zooming in on her ass and then to the direct face of the guy who then speaks. Like, it just went from her back and ass to his face. Like, come on.
Jesus Christ. You sound like me now. I'm gonna change my position because, like, you can't be more me than me. Yeah, fuck that camera guy. Yo, just because.
You have to be pretty sharp and ready to deal with any situation that comes up. Some type of first aid situation or some type of fight, anything that goes on that could be a hazard in that classroom, a teacher needs to be prepared to deal with that.
But according to the report, Roberts wasn't. He was...
Oh, you don't say.
The drunk according man to the wasn't report, prepared for an
Roberts
emergency.
Wasn't. Get the. She reminds me of that guy that narrates the scariest car chase videos. When they're like, this guy, the next time he'll be doing donuts is when all he can work at is at a Dunkin'. You know, like, it just.
According to the report, Roberts wasn't. He was contacted by the principal who was told Roberts could be under the influence. He denied it. Only saying the night before he had 4 ounces of alcohol during the Super Bowl.
Really? That very specific amount?
He measures.
Nigga, you ain't me on a good day.
Along with lemon and whiskey for a sore throat. Roberts was the...
Wait, so you had 4 ounces along with lemon and whiskey. That's more ounces, Robert!
And I like how it was during the Super Bowl, but... He was having it for a sore throat. That's why he was drinking. It just happened to be Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh, yeah. When you're yelling at the television during the pregame, your shit gets fucked up. You're like Fred Durst in 1999.
A sore throat. Roberts was then told to take a drug and alcohol test. But when officials went to his classroom to watch his students, he was gone. Later...
Fuck it. Just bounce. Where the fuck did he go? To the Wawa?
He was gone, later stating he panicked and didn't want to lose his job. He also...
Nigga, you already lost. That's that. what do they call it? Last ditch effort?
Yeah. Death rattle.
He'd been stressed out about his dog and his daughter, and he stayed.
Wait, what? Hold up.
Let me run that back.
Mm-hmm. I need to stop talking over this white woman or whoever it is. Newscaster's got a generic voice.
Yeah.
They all sound like Peter B. Collins. Mm. All right.
And didn't want to lose his job. He also stated he'd been stressed out about his dog and his daughter, and he stated he was going through a divorce, which he compared to a death. Reports show...
Wait, the divorce is a death?
Mm-hmm.
You fucking men's rights activist. It's like a death.
Yeah.
Maybe she doesn't like Mr. 4 ounces and some whiskey.
Through a divorce, which he compared to a death. Reports show Roberts was over the legal limit. Just 3 weeks prior, we learned he was asked to take another alcohol test. And
you know what I tell my black wife? I say, you're going to be getting hammered. You do whatever it is you're doing. I'm going to be in my chair. Like, just say what the hell it is.
Or just fuck, and then call in sick. If you are that drunk in the morning, call in. Don't go to work. That means he got up, drove there.
Woo!
And then was in a school building full of children. And then left to go hide and drove back home. And then mind you, when they did the test, he was 3 times the legal limit. That's when they did the test, not what he was when he walked in the door.
Damn.
Like, so it was actually higher while he was driving to work.
Whew.
Like, come on. Come on,
there's a lot of Florida going on. And it's not even... Oh, there's like another minute of this coverage left. What is that? What else do they have to say about this guy? It gets worse, doesn't it? Or better. Your choice.
Almost 3 times the legal limit. Now Smith says multiple factors will go into his punishment.
Checking his background, checking his previous work history, how long they've been employed... Have they had any problems from this person in the past? So it's almost like on a case-by-case basis. But with this being the second time, they're going to have to look at this a lot differently.
No shit.
So again, Roberts is now suspended for 30 days. Additionally, he'll also be required to partake in an employee assistance program to help his personal matters. I'm live tonight from Francesca Amaker, Channel 4, the local station.
Friend. Oh. Gil mentioned the school taking other preventive measures that should that teacher return to that school?
Well, Kent, he did. He says that some things or some measures that this school could take are some alcohol tests that he is required to take periodically to make sure this doesn't happen anymore. And, of course, he'd have to purchase it. So that could be a measure that is successful in this case, Kent.
Thank you. Francesca Amaker reporting from the Duval County School Board building.
Yeah, I'm telling you that's a sign that capitalism is not winning there because they don't have so many people lined up that want to be teachers that they could just can his ass and replace him on the spot.
Mm.
Yeah, capitalism is not, because when capitalism is winning, you have a whole bunch of unemployed people begging for that job. Ha ha ha. You know what? Should we go?
Or maybe they just don't want to get rid of him because he's a white dude.
Oh, he might. That's probably why they didn't show his face or anything.
Oh, yeah. See, that's the other thing, like, when we talk about, like, total tangent, we talk about show prep and all the things that go into it. When I pull stories specifically for, like, white-on-white crime, and they don't have mugshots, I have to go back and Google the names and find the cases and the mugshots and everything to make sure it's actually white people for White-on-White Wednesday. It's kind of time-consuming.
Yeah.
But that's part of show prep. We kind of take it serious over here, despite the amount of laughing we do while actually podcasting. Like, show prep is, like, for real, for real.
And it's actually not easy to find, like sex workers' rights news. For you folks that have been tuned in, you know, for, like, at least over 18 months by now, like, you know, like, stories where I cover, like, where, like, there is a mini garbage patch in a New York waterway, and a lot of it is, little, like... I want to say microbes, and I'm probably using that word wrong, but little micro shit that comes in, like, some products, like the shit that's in,
microbeads?
Yeah.
And like the silicas.
And like soap that would use to exfoliate.
Yeah.
And a lot of shit like that is like contaminating and fucking up the water out there. That shit, it's not easy to find those stories.
It's not.
Yeah. I mean, you could find, I bet you find a lot of shit about Russia right now. Oh, Russia.
Yeah.
Should we go to the Alex Jones homophobic rant and wrap it up? Or is there something else that you think is very important here? Texas deputy shot dead. Well, that's fair. Texas man ran bikers off the road, sentenced to 15 years in prison.
That was a fun story. I told you I also Googled Texas news.
Yeah. Amy Schumer, I get enough attention from men that I feel good. Okay. Alright, so your appeal to the male gaze makes you feel good. White feminism at it again.
Yeah, I just like that story specifically for the white feminism angle. Of like, oh, so men make her feel good, huh? Okay.
Yep. Unless they're black men that ask for your autograph, then you say they're stalking you and you get him harassed and his Instagram shut down.
Or unless they're Mexican and then you can make rapist jokes about them.
Yep. Again, folks, can't stop pointing out that, like, if we really are the kind of folks over here that actually analyze jokes, I see where you fake left motherfuckers. You see, you're the fake left. You're the neoliberal Democrats. You're not the actual left. You're moderate right, right? You're right. You're Republicans with gay friends. And if we're really, like, analyzing jokes because they have an impact on society, let's keep in mind that fucking, that Amy Schumer's jokes were Donald Trump's campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Now, wait a second. What's this stupid doop-bop-a-doo? All right, so, Somerville County, a man caught on video running a motorcycle off the road in 2015 has been sentenced to 15 years in prison. That's fair. And that comes from the Stephenville Empire Tribune. Now, William Sam Crumb. What is with these fucking names? William Sam Crumb. Like, who did you give me this shit? His name is actually Crumb.
Yep.
Crummy, and it's not even with a B. C-R-U-M.
Yep.
Crummy ass. All right, William Sam Crumb was convicted of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. This after a grand jury indicted Crumb on two felony counts of intentionally hitting a motorcycle, leaving two people injured. The video is actually from October 17th in 2015, and the crash quickly went viral on the YouTubes, and they actually have the video embedded in here on the KHOU.com small news site. Support them little niggas. The Associated Press reported another motorcyclist wearing a camera taped the crash that sent the rider Eric Sanders and Deborah Simpson tumbling. Oof. The video shows Crumb pulling over and the second cyclist yells, "What are you doing? You hit them!" Crumb responded, "I don't care." Okay. Mm-hmm. He matches his name.
Yeah.
Crumb, who was 69 years old, will be eligible for parole after serving half of his sentence.
This nigga gonna die in prison. 69 in 15 years, so he has to serve 7?
Yeah, he might have a lot of hate energy. He'll be eligible after half the sentence, reported the Stephenville Empire Tribune. All right, now, I don't know about you. Now, Phoenix Kalita just had to leave the room. The 8-year-old was knocking on the door. I want to play that fucking Alex Jones rant where he used the curse words. And, shit's bugged out, man, because Alex Jones usually does, like, he'll say, son of a B word, right? Kick your ass or you damn. But he goes on this homophobic motherfucking rant. What was the guy's name? Stephen Schiff? Or something? Alex Jones curses. Right, let's just type in Alex Jones curses.
I think, didn't he save the link?
Oh, you sent me the link?
I thought I did.
Ah, shoot, if it's in my smart device. All right, let me pause up and see about that. And through the magic of unpause, we actually never stopped talking. Now, fucking this shit. And I'd heard of Alex Jones.
Before we get all into it, remind me, I have another story we have to do that's fucking hilarious. Okay.
Continue. Oh, all right. Fit in one more. Now, this shit. Now, Alex Jones, I've heard him use the filthy, dirty cursing words when he was on Joe Rogan's program. And now, Alex Jones apologized for that Pizzagate shit. I don't know if Joe Rogan has.
But he didn't really apologize, though. So, basically, his apology was specifically to the guy who owns the pizza place in question. The one where the dude showed up with a gun, like, where are the sex slaves? I'm going to free them. Remember that thing? So the guy who owns that pizza place, that's specifically who Jones apologized to. And I suspect it's because he got threatened with like a lawsuit for libel or slander or something. But he has not actually apologized for spreading Pizzagate itself. He apologized for how spreading Pizzagate specifically affected that man. So he's not actually backtracking on the existence of Pizzagate. It's just that he wants that dude's name out of it.
Oh, see, I think that motherfucker should go after Joe Rogan. I think Joe Rogan is more dangerous with it because he actually has a credibility with the so-called skeptics community. You know, those atheists that see themselves as above everybody because they question everything, but they believe Joe Rogan, who believes Pizzagate, because reasons. Now this shit is wild. Now, we are dark, weird people, and we like hearing Alex Jones yell about things, but this shit is verbally, very violent, homophobic rant.
Yeah.
So, if this is not your type of shit, you'll want to fast forward the next few minutes here. We are going to check this out. I've only heard this once, because it came on a program that I was, and it was bleeped. Because it was on fucking Bob Seska shit.
Oh.
And I was at work, so I couldn't be stopping and pausing around because I'm very busy working with three machines at one time. Oh, shit. And before I... Now, tangent more. You're right, because the guy that's training me on the machines, like, even though he doesn't know much English, I don't know much Spanish, I was like, huh. So three machines? Here, six machines, one room. It's like, yeah. It's like... They could hire 20 people, and then 20 people could work and pay bills and feed their family. And, like, that sound of surprise when he, because, you know, he understood. He was like, yeah.
Now that I think about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, fucking, just keep spreading the word, yo. Bring up that shit anywhere you fucking can all the time. Just keep it casual. Make it sound like you just thought of it then. You know, that's how you do it. Make it part of the conversation, not a speech that you're given. All right? I think I've said that before on the program with as far as, like, you know, communicating this shit. All right, here we go.
Said it is red baiting.
That's on drugs.
Fear-mongering.
The fuck? Alex Jones just be talking over his guests saying weird. Did he say someone's on drugs?
Yeah.
The guy.
Okay, so the guy who's talking is complaining about people, and Alex Jones keeps interjecting about them, like, yeah, they're on drugs.
Fear-mongering.
Yeah, they're horrible people.
Oh,
scum of the earth, or what the fuck ever he says.
Okay, he does that. All right, here we go.
You know, it is well beyond the point of recklessness. Whether it is Adam Schiff who has maligned me, or whether it is Senator Mark Warner, whether it is Senator John McCain. But let me tell you something, Alex. These guys are pussies. They talk a tough game. We're gonna get Roger Stone in front of the committee. Gentlemen, ladies, I am ready. I am more than ready.
Like, let me say this right now. Let me tell, I'm not against gay people. Okay.
I'm not against gay people, but... Let me go on the most homophobic fucking rant you've heard in a minute.
Yeah, that's a good way to start it. I'm not against gay people. He's not against gay people. There we go. I think it's the auxiliary volume. There we go.
Okay.
So I don't want to have to go back and raise all those decibels separately.
Yeah, I love them. They're great folks. But shit.
They're great folks. All of them.
It's like the blacks, really.
Oh man, let me give that a running start.
Game. We're gonna get Roger Stone in front of the committee. Gentlemen, ladies, I am ready. I am more than ready.
Okay, let me say this right now. Let me tell, I'm not against gay people. Okay, I love them. They're great folks. But Schiff looks like the archetypal cocksucker with those little deer-in-the-headlight eyes and all his stuff. And there's something about...
deer-in-the-headlight eyes and all his stuff. He don't even know where he wants to take this. So he is confused in his own homophobia.
He's confused in his homophobia because he's like, oh, shit, I just said cocksucker on the air.
That might be it. Yeah.
He's like, oh, no.
And at that moment, because, you know, let's keep in mind, Alex Jones is a performer. And you know what? And he's an improvisationalist. So he said, oh, is this where I'm going with this one? Fuck it. You know what?
But Schiff looks like the archetypal cocksucker with those little deer-in-the-headlight eyes and all his stuff. And there's something about this fairy hopping around, bossing everybody around, trying to intimidate people like me and you. I want to tell Congressman Schiff and all the rest of them, hey, listen, asshole, quit saying Roger and I. And I never used cussing in 22 years, but the gloves are off. Listen, you son of a bitch.
Which also says we've never cussed. We have audio of him cussing.
Yeah.
So, okay. And, all right.
And maybe not so much on your own program, because you don't do the, what George Collins says are the seven deadly or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
And, but heard you on Joe Rogan's program.
Hey, listen, asshole. Quit saying Roger and I. And I never used cussing in 22 years, but the gloves are off. Listen, you son of a bitch. What the fuck's your problem? You want to sit here and say that I'm a goddamn fucking Russian? You get in my face with that, I'll beat your goddamn ass, you son of a bitch.
No. All right, you know what? I'll leave that alone. It's just that I get so tired of hearing Jones talk that kind of shit when it's like, you are a rich man that is fucking... So, like, just because you hold guns, holding guns is not fucking, like, doing rough lay. Like, you're not a rough guy.
I mean, very clearly, Jones is the kind of person who has never been punched in the face for talking too much shit.
No, he's probably been punched in the face because he started a fight, but not over the shit that comes out of his face verbally. But, like, this is a guy, like, because know too much about him. Like, he comes from a fucking middle-class white background, mm-hmm. and went straight from high school to college and straight from college to radio to being a millionaire. You're soft, Jones. Fucking soft. All right.
Well, he can take off his shirt and intimidate you, though.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'd be like, oh, is he gonna come rub that sweaty body up against me? Ah, I don't do it.
It's like a big cuddle bear.
Gross. Ew. I gotta be a discount cuddle. Anybody paying full price for that shit?
You piece of shit. You fucking goddamn fucker. What?
See, you see how nerdy, like, see the dorky little dweeb came out right there. Like, nobody's buying that.
You piece of shit. You fucking goddamn fucker. Bitch. You piece of shit. You fucking goddamn fucker.
You know what's hilarious to me is that, like, watching this, he's just kind of shaking his hand, but not actually, like, shaking his fist.
Yeah.
And I've seen him be much more belligerent over other things where he's not cursing, where he's fucking throwing papers and taking his shirt off. And here he's like, I'm going to sit in this chair in front of this camera in this suit and mildly make a fist and move my hand as though I'm slightly perturbed.
Yeah. You fucking goddamn fucker.
Piece of shit. You fucking goddamn fucker. Listen, fuckhead. You fucking crossed the line. Get that through your goddamn fucking head.
Nobody is shook,
yeah.
Nigga.
Yeah. Like, he doesn't even know what your goddamn fucking head. Like, you sound like a fucking, like a teenager that's like a...
I'm gonna tell my dad on you, and he's famous, and he has money, and he's gonna, like, get you in trouble and stuff.
He sounds like a brat cursing at his mother while his father's not home, while running out the... I'm running away, Mom, you fucking goddamn fucker.
You're ruining my life, Mom.
Yeah, like, I remember one, man, like, fucking, this was when I was in between foster care and my biological father's custody. And I was just fucking, it was the summer, and I like, early in the summer, and I was outside. It was, like, shortly after, the year of grade 5, getting ready to go to grade 6. And I see one of the neighborhood kids. I didn't know too well, but I'd seen him around. and he was running, and I heard yelling behind him, and it was his mother coming after him, and he was just like, no, no, and running. And then I saw him a little later that same day, and he was like, she's trying to make me clean the bathroom and shit.
Oh my God.
I've never forgot that. Like, that's what Alex Jones sounds like.
I fucking need, like, Photoshop skills to ease in that dog meme. That's the second time in, like, the 2 podcasts I had to mention that fucking meme. But, yeah, the one with the dog that look all confused when you're at your wife or his house and they start stabbing their parents.
Holy shit.
I hate you, Mom. Your apple pie sucks.
Listen to more intimidating Jones.
Listen, fuckhead. You fucking crossed the line. Get that through your goddamn fucking head. Stop pushing your shit. You're the people that have fucked this country over and gang raped the shit out of it and lost an election. So
what? What?
Yeah.
Motherfuckers love to go into some rape culture on any damn thing.
Stop pushing your shit.
Everything is rape, but actual rape.
Ah, indeedly do, neighbor. And we actually did a segment on him talking about his experiences in college. Nasty.
People that have fucked this country over and gang raped the shit out of it and lost an election. So stop shooting your mouth off claiming I'm the enemy. You got that, you goddamn son of a bitch? Fill your hand. I'm sorry, but I'm done. You start calling me a foreign agent. Those are fucking fighting words. Excuse me.
Oh, is it the fucking excuse me?
I don't normally curse, but fuck this. Excuse
me. Man. I don't know why there's... I thought it ended here. Why is there more time? Let's see.
Yeah, I don't think I have ever...
Oh, see, oh, yeah, that other guy says words.
That's Roger Stone, by the way, I believe.
That's fine.
Okay, Roger Stone. You see, and the thing is, like, but like, just yesterday, Jones had a whole different commentary on Schiff.
He's got the biggest, juiciest fruits I've ever seen.
You know damn well he was talking about Trump.
I hope you're sure happy it's Tuesday in the wine cellar.
In a very
Fuck,
why are you trying
Wednesday
to give me a glass? I played that bottle.
Oh, shit.
All right, I just played the Tuesday audio on Wednesday. All right, now there's one you wanted to wrap up with.
Wait, oh, go down. Down. That one.
This one.
Fuck yeah. This is like perfect for White on White Wednesday.
Oh, shit.
Look at that headline.
Should I skip the headline and get into the story so it can build?
Yeah, let it build up.
All right. And just, folks, okay, so we're on therawstory.com. We're not usually here. This is posted by Tom Baggioni. They call him T-Bog. He's a total hill hound, and he's one of the people that says the left is eating itself, you know, with shit like that white lady that won the award show and was like, the gays and the black folks gotta come together for the hormones.
I think that was Roseanne Arquette? Somebody, Patricia Arquette? I don't know. Fucking names Arquette.
Yeah, we're too cool to remember.
Because you can't fucking, like, oh, look, a white woman said words about white feminism and everybody else needs to do the fucking labor. Wow.
Now we're on the Raw story. They have an image of this, this hot woman I guess she appeared on the CNN. And the look on her face is like how white people look at me when they're surprised at how I interact with them in public because I'm busy and I don't have time for this shit. You monkey, get out of the fucking way. All right. Trump supporters in Texas are coming to the realization that their vote for the president may force some of them out of their homes for less than they are worth, with others finding out that if they stay, they'll be living in Mexico if this wall is built. Ho! Whoa! Uh-huh. So they're on the... Wait, so they're fucking immigrants. Get the fuck out of Mexico.
They're not actually in Mexico. They're in the United States, but the wall is built on the United States side and is gonna make Mexico a little bit bigger.
Alright, you know what, there's always with the I get it, the penis analogies with Trump and non-white men, right? Like fucking the crowd size of the inauguration. Notice that they never say crowd population, amount of people. They always use the word size. Every time they said size, it was bigger.
Sean's hand size, crowd size.
Right? Yeah, right? Because little Marco's Cuban, right? He's a little colored. And he was like, well, hold on there. That's why he kept calling him little Marco.
Yeah.
Yeah, obsessed. And now he's like, oh, man, my hands are so big, I can afford to make Mexico bigger. All right, here we go. As part of a CNN special report on the impact, the wall between the U.S. and Mexico will have on border dwellers in the state that went overwhelmingly for President Donald Trump, the network found there is already an extensive history of government lawsuits filed to take property from homeowners. With Trump's wall planned for the entire border, some of his supporters are now saying they will fight his administration in the courts.
Well, fight him in the courts! He loves court. He's always winning in court.
Ah, man. According to one family who had their farm cut in half. Homestead Act. Part of it in the U.S., a part of it in Mexico, as Rush Limbaugh always says it. They are still stunned that government was able to take their property 10 years ago. Quote,
I was very angry. I just kept saying, how can they do that? How is it possible that the United States, in the United States, that they could do this?
End quote from Deanne Loop of Brownsville. Recall, that's a country ass name. D apostrophe and Loop. All right.
They put up a fence in front of our land and they keep us in here, lock us in. I didn't understand. I was very, I was floating and flabbergasted.
Now, according to Loop, all of their property is now on the Mexican side after losing in court. Oh, shit. God damn.
Sheldon Florida is my favorite flavor.
What happened?
Why aren't you winning?
Because they already got tired of winning. There was so much winning on election night, they got tired of winning right then and there. Continuing,
it left us no property on the U.S. side of the border wall, including my house. Everything was behind on the Mexican side of the U.S. border fence.
End quote. With her husband adding, they enter the U.S. through a locked gate.
Yeah, I normally don't fucks with Raw Story, but this my shit.
Holy shit.
This story is my shit, man.
This is a quote from her husband, Ray Loop. Fucking last name makes it wonderful. He said, you punch your code in, or you come behind the border wall. There is a feeling of isolation. You feel isolated, Ray?
Which I know to point out, though, like, on a more serious note, they feel isolated because they have to be on the other side of the wall. But so then they were like, how can we be better and make America great? Let's vote to make a big-ass wall and do to millions of people what was done to us.
Yeah.
Like, fuck y'all.
That's fair. With hundreds of additional miles of Trump's proposed wall expected to be built in along the Texas border, thousands of landowners may be forced to sell their property to the government. Oh!
The important thing is that we were going to have a small government.
Just small enough to fit on your farm. Sell to the government or stay and live in changed circumstances.
Fucking Mexicans.
That is properly vague. Changed circumstances.
I just want to know if they have to register as Mexicans. That's all I want to know. Like, do they have to be Mexicans?
Yeah. Now the Mexicans ain't gonna take them.
I know.
They know who the fuck you are. According to Pat Bell of River Bend, she voted for Trump but never supported his border wall plan. So you, I don't like your policies. I'm gonna vote for you. What the fuck is happening?
What the fuck was his? Was it his whole fucking thing? It was what? It was the wall. It was trade policies and bringing back jobs. Wasn't that like his entire fucking campaign?
Yeah, and she's a Texas. She's a Texas motherfucker. She's not Midwest or like, well, really like coastal. Like our import export is good money, especially on like the Port of Tacoma is on point. Like we're chilling. Yeah. So she's still like, so the trade policies, that shit didn't even hit her. She was right. She voted fully on the race system.
And now she can enjoy being one of the few white people in Mexico.
Maybe Hillary Clinton should have tried harder to get that white woman vote. You Democrats know you're going to get the black woman vote anyway. You know you're going to get a whole bunch of the black male vote. You know you're going to get that anyway. Hillary Clinton should have tried hard to get that white woman vote because over 50% of them went Trumple-Stiltskin on that ass. But instead you parading around the fucking mothers of dead black boys talking about mothers of the movement. You fucked up. Your Democrats ran a shit candidate, and it's your fault you lost.
They were so used to winning, they got tired of it.
Oh, yeah. Like in 2010, 12, and 14, and now 16. Man, they're winning. Woo!
Yeah, winning is a very vague thing. There's lots of different ways to win.
Like how Obama got that Supreme Court nomination in there? Or how 99 of... I figured out, I just kept reading, because that's pretty cool to do. That's why there's 103 seats open, because Barry got 99 blocked, and 4 more came open.
Yep.
Winning! Winning!
Which is the thing, you think that the Democrats would have been more vocal about that, too. But no.
What the fuck were they vocal about in the past 8 years?
We can't do anything because they block everything.
I guess
without being in detail about what everything is.
No, what? Well, they had marriage equality, right? They went in for that, and then in 2012, war on women. That's the thing. Democrats only talk during election year, and they only pay attention to. That's the politicians. The voters only pay attention during election year, which is why none of you motherfuckers know exactly how many Green Party people are running and winning right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like some Green Party folks that are doing a kick arse job.
Yeah?
Yeah. Do it.
I follow someone running for Senate in California from the Green Party.
I may have heard an interview with him on the Socialist Visions program.
He was on something you were listening. That's why I followed him on Twitter, because he was hilarious. He was on one of your podcasts when you fell asleep.
Oh, maybe.
I think it might have been Democracy Now, maybe.
Democracy Now, Lee Camp, the Laura Flanders show, one of them.
That was not Laura Flanders.
No.
You know what? I bet you it was Lee Camp.
Yeah, probably.
Either that or Jimmy Dore. I bet you it was Lee Camp or Jimmy Dore.
Yeah. And people, I wonder how many people listening already know all those programs because they fuck with the left too. And they're just like, oh, y'all like that shit? You goddamn right I like that shit. Those motherfuckers. And I don't just listen to them because I agree with, like, I disagree with Jimmy Dore on shit. Because Jimmy Dore's a comedian, so I disagree with him on how he thinks jokes should be treated and perceived, of course. Sometimes Lee Camp makes ableist jokes, and I don't fuck with that shit. But they also get news that I don't get, I want to hear news that I'm not familiar with. That's a big reason why I follow these folks. And also, they are funny. Lee Camp and Jimmy Dore are comedians, and, you know, they know what they're doing. They know their way around a punchline. Laura Flanders, her show is short, and she does good fucking interviews. I didn't know fucking Cornel West was such a damn SJW. God damn. He is fucking heavy-handed with it.
Cornel Fresh.
I believe so. Yeah. I believe. Oh, that was the end of the fucking story. Well, there's one more quote from.
Oh wait, no, because you hold up.
What I missed? Pat Bell of Wimberbiz. She voted. Oh yeah, but she didn't support his border wall plan, and now she may have to get a lawyer because she's gonna win like the people that just lost, or her home will no longer be in Texas. Well, by voting for that New Yorker, you messed with Texas, didn't you? I laugh at my own jokes. Fences and walls don't work. Bell said she'll fight to stop it.
You voted for a nigga who said a wall would work. Why?
Well, she closes out the deal. She said, absolutely. I would go to the people who were in charge. And you hate to say I would get a lawyer, but if it comes to that issue, you would.
Okay.
Oh, I did all that, and there's a fucking video down there that will confirm all my assumed impressions are wrong as hell. I guarantee it.
They lost. The government paid them a settlement and took the land it needed to build this fence. Cutting their farm in two.
It essentially left us no property on the U.S. side of the border wall, including my house, my residence. Everything was behind the on the Mexican side of the U.S. border fence.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, so do they pay taxes in the United States then?
What are you saying?
Are they the type of immigrants that are bringing down our economy because they don't add to our revenue?
Yeah, what the fuck, man? Where was that shirt made, Biff? Whatever. Oh, Ray. That was Ray. All right. Damn. Okay, we fucking fucked around and ended up with a full-ass episode. Hey. All right, let's clip it the fuck together. Why are those decibels so low? Yo. I guess we're kind of far away from the microphone. I get it.
Well, I think we turned it down to play one of the audio clips, didn't we?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I god darn did. All right, so, and just so I can fucking get it right.
It's White on White Wednesday, and it's time for White on White Crime.
Like I said, it's time after it's over. Fine. Have a good one, fuckos.
Bye.
Oh, yeah. Well, one more. GoFundMe.com/PhoenixAndWilliam.